And right now, it's time to say a very good morning to Peter Allam, our legal eagle, talking today about universal partnerships. Peter, very good morning and welcome.
It's morning, Wayne. Morning to everybody out there. Like you said, a beautiful sunny day today. Nice little quick bit of rain last night just to wet the gardens and sort out things. Power cuts weren't so good, but anyway.
Today's chat,
universal partnerships. You know, it seems to be the in thing these days. If I look around at people, I think that there are more people living together than people that are actually married. You know, there seems to be that doubt of trust or something. People don't like to commit themselves. And when somebody once said to me, once bitten, twice shy, I'll never get married again. But, you know, why would you think that way if you're going to live with somebody on a long-term basis, have children with them and things like that? So these are all factors that fit into the picture today with what we're going to say. And, of course, you know, it's Valentine's Day soon. It's the year when the ladies can ask the boys to marry. And,
yeah, it's a leap year.
You know, whatever. So be prepared. Anyway, that's just on the side. But, you know, marriage is the chief cause of divorce. And for that reason, I think a lot of people, you know, think about it before they marry. A lot of people want to make sure that they're certain. A lot of times you see children born out of wedlock. People just live together. They're happy that way. I mean, you know, I know a couple that have been living together for 20, 30, 35 years already. Grown up kids that are out of school and working and that type of thing. But you got to make sure that you understand what you're letting yourself in for. A lot of people come along to me and they say, oh, my common law husband or common law wife has left me and I need to sort out, you know, the breakup and the assets and all the rest of it. Let's make it quite clear. There is no such thing as a common law marriage. There's no prescription because you've been living together longer than 30 years and you're now regarded as marriage. There's no such thing. It's automatic that you are regarded as married because of the length of time you've lived together and things like that. Either you are formally married or you miss out on all the legal protections that are available to married couples. So if you split or one of you dies or the whatever the position is, the less financially strong life partner could well be prejudiced, even left destitute after a life together for years and years. I mean, you know, I've had instances where people have been together for 20 years. The woman's been a housewife, looked after the children. All of a sudden, the guy gets somebody else, moves off, and left with nothing, no maintenance, no nothing. Yes, you can come to court. You can battle. You might get somebody that might give you something, but there's no legal obligation for maintenance or anything like that. There were children, yeah, you could claim maintenance for the children, but certainly not for yourself. You know, that's what you've chosen. So you need to be very careful. So what is the solution to that? Because, you know, you can't just be left destitute if you're into a universal partnership. There is an answer to it. There is a thing called a cohabitation agreement. So what you can do is that you can go along to an attorney and he can tailor make an agreement for the two of you that suits your circumstances and needs. You know, it will cover all the aspects of finance, purchases together, undertakings to each other regarding financial support, I suppose, maintenance, parental rights, what name the children will go under, and all that type of thing. You know, duties regarding the children. You can add all of that. You can add anything into that agreement. It's like a partnership agreement.
Yes.
Become partners, and you have rights, and it sets out what the position is. You both sign it, and that's what it is. You know, how do you prove it? Well, that agreement itself is in writing and in place, you know. You still have a duty to maintain the contents of it. You know, it's an agreement to share property, share your gains, share your losses. It can be for the purpose of a marriage. You know, some people just live together as a couple. maybe, you know, each in separate rooms and that. There's a lot of that around as well. People don't realize it. People join up, a male and a female, they're the best of friends, you know, and they live in a home together, they buy stuff together, they go everywhere together, they travel together, but intimacy is not there. So you can cover all of that in an agreement. You know, it comes into existence when you do something together. And you can split with something like that. If you're not in an intimate relationship, the cohabitation is not essential. You can still have an agreement between the two of you, a cohabitation agreement for, you know, your business ventures and things like that that you're doing if necessary. In other words, it's basically the same as a partnership. You set up and set out exactly what the do's and don'ts are, and you abide by that. The only difference is that it's a proper legal document in place, and, you know, each party brings something in and gets something out, if you want to call it that. So that's where you are with something like that.
Right.
The other way of keeping people living together, of course, is a will. A lot of people do that as well. Instead of the cohabitation agreement, you make sure that you both have a will. It can be a joint will, which is probably better, because then you know, you commit it, or you can have an individual will. But not to forget that a will can be changed at any time. So I can do a will today with my partner. Tomorrow decide, no, I don't want to do that anymore, and go and change the will. That a later dated will takes precedent over the previous will. But you can make a will, and you can, you know, cover all aspects there. What's going to happen to the furniture? What's going to happen to the house? What's going to happen to everything like that? And the sad thing with the cohabitation situations and the court cases that there are before our courts relate to instances where people have lived together for years and years and never put anything in writing, never had any agreements in place. The one partner dies and you find the family never ever liked the partner. You know, out onto the streets goes the partner. No financial commitment, no nothing. You know, it's not like a marriage in community of property or out of community of property. They have the right to say, okay, that's, you know, my son's or my brother's house, and everything is left to me, or there's no will, so it's left to the family.
Right.
You know, if it's not specified, so that either have that cohabitation agreement or you have a will. You know, I think there are some huge cases before the court at the moment where, you know, the will and that was not done, and the court was asked to find in favor of a party, which it's really battled to do. I mean, you know, there's no right to a claim or anything like that. So the court can't just come to the survivor's part and say that half of the deceased estate must go to that person or anything like that. So it's incredible that people, not incredible, it's imperative that make sure that they, that's a nice word to use. So if you're out there listening and you're living together with someone, it's imperative is the word, to make sure that you are covered properly.
Right.
Don't, you know, it's a case of, people may live together. So, yes, maybe Mr. buys all the household furniture and that, but you as the other partner buy all the food and drinks and whatever's necessary for the home. So your contribution is, if not more, than the person bringing assets in. So don't not attend to something in writing. So that at the end of the day, if you have a fight or if there's a death, you know, it's those dreaded D's that come into the position. You've got debt, you've got death, you've got, well, it's not a divorce in this thing. It's called dissolution partnership. So those dreaded D's can take you out tremendously if you're not covered in that regard. So, you know, make sure that you are there. You know, the if I can say that, you know, it's important that you're always aware of the risks, the delays that can happen with death, the cost of trying to prove the existence of a partnership,
right,
where it's not in writing. You know, the agreement is quite straightforward and simple if in writing, but if it's a verbal one, How do you prove it? Were you ever going to get somebody to believe? And the worst thing is that it's normally death that causes the biggest problem, because when somebody dies, you get all the greedy people that come, they want to inherit.
Then
they're not cared about a partner that's lived there for 25 years. They're not cared about their nieces and nephews that the mother of gets nothing and things like that. So, yeah, rather be safe than sorry, and ensure that you have a proper agreement in place or a proper will. As I say, a will is a way of protecting, but not an absolute way, because it can be changed at any time.
As you say, the will, you know, you could draw one up today which suits both parties, and then the one party could go a week later behind the other one's back and just change it, and nobody would be any the wiser.
That's it. And, you know, in this modern day and age, it's quite scary. You know, the relationships that people have are not as strong, in my view, as what there was in the past. You know, in the past, you committed yourself and you were faithful. These days, I mean, I see so much of it. You see somebody that's with somebody this day, and about a month later, they were somebody else, and they move freely between partners, the people of today. And also, you know, the divorce rate is so high that it's scary, which is why I think people are scared of remarrying. But, you know, the people are divorced and living freely like that, partying together and going out together. And, you know, you might think that you've got a partner that's safe and sound, and the next minute somebody looks at him or looks at her, and when you look again, you know, all of a sudden she's gone out on a date, or he's gone out on a date, or he's lying to you that he's working late and things like that. It reminds me of the old TV program, Cheaters, where an amazing program, well covered, and I mean, just the stories that come out of that just show you what can happen.
Yeah. And, you know, the scary thing about that particular show was it was real. You know, it was really real stuff that was happening. And but the agreements that you're referring to are basically similar to what you would enter into if you were, for instance, actually physically getting married, you know, because you'd look at very similar points if you were setting up a contract before getting married.
Yeah. Look, it's not quite like a marriage contract, because it's more like a partnership, Wayne.
Okay.
All the loose ends, you know, to say what you're going to do, what the position is with children, children's names, who contributes what to the house, what happens to the assets that you build up together whilst you're living together, you know, whose name will the home be put into, all those type of aspects. So, you know, whereas you don't have to define that in a marriage contract,
right.
An antenuptial contract, because it comes natural. You know, once you marry, the children bear that name. Once you marry, if you're in or out of community of property, there's set rulings in that regard. But in a cohabitation agreement, you've got to specify that.
Okay.
It's a bit more extended than the normal just antenuptial contract.
And you would, I'm assuming, then be able to almost specify certain things that otherwise would probably not, that you can actually get down to nitty-gritties. Maybe there's businesses involved, or, you know, maybe person A has got a collection of fancy somethings or other, and, you know, that's got to be dealt with in a certain way. I can just imagine that there would be any number of variables that you would be able to put into that agreement.
You're 100% correct. But don't forget, like you mentioned now, somebody's got a collection of something. That would be totally excluded, whereas with a marriage, there might be implications of it being part of the
estate.
Type of thing. For example, I have a coin collection and I have a cohabitation agreement. It's not automatically a part of it.
Yes.
What's mine is mine. What's yours is yours. It's only what we add into the agreement that we share. So the important things are living together, buying assets together, one party working, one party maybe not working, children, whose surname the children's going to take, you know, the rights of the children and all the rest of it. So, yeah, it covers a broad aspect. and it's very, very important.
Right. So, so something that one should look at if you are in a situation like that. Once again, just to protect all parties involved in, you know, in, as in marriage and divorce, you don't plan for it, but you need to plan for it in case it happens.
Absolutely. You can never say never, never. I mean, you know, you get situations where people come along and say, it'll never happen to me. You can never say it. Right. Never, ever say it. Right.
Well, rather be prepared, and a couple of hours spent with an attorney could be time and money well spent compared to the amount of problems that could occur later.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt about that.
And then, Peter, some very interesting advice today, and obviously just one of the many topics that are covered by Alam's attorneys. How does one get in touch with you and your firm if you have any questions legal-wise?
Yes, they can get hold of us on Facebook. If they just put an S onto our surname, A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for Sugar, Alam's. If they like us on Facebook, they can see all these weekly programs with Wild Coast FM and ourselves, as well as other programs from time to time, reports and all the rest of it. Alternatively, we're to be found at 6 Sansom Road in Vincent, the little side street where Pep Stores is. Telephone number 043-7211-018. That's it, Wayne.
Great. And of course, this chat will be on our website and shared with Alam's later today. So do pop into that if you missed anything or you just want to recap on what Peter said. Peter, thank you very much. Have a great week.
Same to you, Wayne.
Cheers, Wayne. Thanks a lot. There we go. That's Peter Alam with today's edition of Legal Eagle.